Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, we are here. Well, they're here for training camp. We are here to watch them in training camp. Instigators, Andrew Peters and Craig Rebe, and we are live from the KeyBank Center, where the day that I dreaded most is now here. I don't know, Riv, this is the day where everybody kind of figures out if they did enough work in the summer, you know.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Fitness testing and body fat, and I mean, the medicals are one thing. They're easy.
Were you ever nervous on these days?
Nervous? Are you kidding me? These days, I was almost so nervous I couldn't perform. Like, I would get so worked up about, like, I would train all summer, and throughout the summer with my trainers, I would do kind of like tests in between the summer just to kind of see the gains that I've made in certain areas. And then training time would come. I suck at testing. Testing in school, testing in professional sports. Like, just, I always,
why?
Because
did you get nervous?
Yeah.
Did you
not this is the big stage. I mean, for me, it was always like, this is the NHL. Even my third year in the league, fourth year in the league, fifth year in the league, sixth year in the league. Like, I never came to camp and ever was like, I don't care about that result, or I might not have done very well in that. I cared a lot because you know, I felt like, you know, every little thing, every little detail for a bubble guy, can be a strike against you, and that's a tough way to go to work every single day, but it keeps you honest to some extent. But yes, to answer your question in a long-winded way, I was terrified on days.
I was very much the same. I had
really?
I had over 20 or around 20 NHL training camps. I can still remember, like, you know, and you, I think most people would ask you, did you feel more comfortable as the time went on? And maybe it was just me, and this was probably different than most players. I always felt the same. I always felt extremely – I was very – very. My wife, you know, probably sitting here listening to this is, you know, laughing. But at the time, it wasn't a laughing matter. It was tough to deal with at home. I was very stressed out. I lived in North Bay, Ontario. I spent my summers there. I trained there. There was no other NHL hockey players. There was no American League hockey players. There was no East Coast hockey players.
You had nothing to measure up against.
So my training consisted of, after every single workout, I literally maxed out. But after every workout, I always asked myself, I think there's someone's doing more. There's someone has to be doing more, and I need to do more. And that made me feel, even though I gave everything I possibly could in my training, I always felt like I wasn't doing enough. And it made me sick throughout my summers of training. I would go to camp, and it was the most stressful time. It was the most stressful 7 days of my entire year, were the 7 days at training camp. And especially on day one, the training, you know, all the testing, the running, the wind gates, the strength testing, everything. And then all of a sudden, by the end of it, I realized how hard I did train and my testing scores were always very, very good. Maybe lacked a little bit on the body fat, but I think I'm going to throw that to genetics.
What an overrate. No.
I was considered fat. I was 10% body fat. I was considered the fat guy. When I came to Buffalo, I mean, everybody was so thin on this team. I've never seen a team. Everybody was.
We all looked like we were ill.
You look like the.
Everyone looked like they just came off a week of the flu when they came to training camp.
That's exactly what it was. It was. You know, I had my conversations, expressed my opinions on that when we're sitting there talking about Thomas Vanek and making him feel stressed out because he's 10.4% body fat and they wanted him at 9. He was scoring 43 goals a year for us. Like, what the hell do you need a 9% body fat for? I mean, you played the game a certain style. Everybody's body fat and body makeup composition is different.
It's funny. I want to hang on that conversation for a second, because if you look at hockey players now, they're all just genetic freaks, right?
Like, no, I don't think they're genetic freaks.
You don't?
No, I think they're the hockey player of today is extremely different than the hockey player in 1994.
When I say, put it this way, my definition of a genetic freak is a kid that is long, lean, ripped. Okay, big butt, big legs. And that's your prototypical hockey player. They look like guys that are for the most part doing yoga, like yoga bodies. They're a lot different than the bodies of the players from back when
I'll give you an example. 1992, I was drafted to the Montreal Canadiens. I went to my very first training camp there. I'm standing. I felt like a herd of cattle. I did not know anybody there. Everybody was speaking French. I remember that we were in the Montreal General Hospital on floor number 4. On floor number 4, there was a line of over 125 players waiting to go through their testing. You had to go through your height and weight. You went to the blood work. You went through the ECG or whatever for the heart.
EKG.
EKG. And it went on and on and on and on. You just went to the certain stations, okay? I'm standing in the middle of two players. One player was 6'4". And he weighed 230 pounds.
Let me guess. Jerry Fleming.
Donald Brashear.
Oh.
The guy behind me was a guy named that you just named, Jerry Fleming. Jerry Fleming stepped on the scale at 6'6", 282. He had muscles coming out of the muscle in his body, okay? Probably enhanced in some way or form. But that being said, I stepped on the scale and I weighed a whopping 172 pounds, 110 pounds less than the guy that was standing behind me. I started to realize, I don't think I should be here. That's what I felt like. And then all of a sudden you get on the ice and you realize I can play with these guys. But it's a long process of understanding the training and the work that needs to go into it.
Right. So back to my initial point when I was saying that I wanted to hold off on that topic. And, yeah, I think guys today are genetic freaks. I mean, when you look at them, they're faster. Their muscle twitch fibers are faster. They're way better athletes now overall in the league than there ever has been. But my point to that was a guy like Dustin Byfuglien, there are guys in the league that just are talented, so talented that, you know, like they don't have to be built that way. Like a guy like Dustin Byfuglien, there were a lot of guys in the league that were known for being pudgier, if you want to use a kind of a fit way of calling somebody, sure, you know, overweight. But, you know, a little pudgier.
Yep.
And they were great at that. They could handle playing at that. And then when you go and you try to change their body type because you think it's going to benefit them, I think that hurts players too when you try to change.
The training is much different in today. Not that when we played or when I played, I think I worked extremely hard. I know the players that went to camp worked extremely hard. It was just different. We trained differently. We trained more for bulk. We trained more for size and mass. Where the players today, every single one of these guys looks like they have broad shoulders, but they're in a V form going down to their hips. Their hips are little tiny little hips. Then they've got the big butt because they do so much legs and squats and deadlifts and. But they're all lean. Every single one of these guys, like we just had a conversation and talked with Risto for about 10, 15 minutes. You don't realize how big this guy is until you actually get him in front of you. I feel I'm a big guy, but standing beside Risto, he is a big, big man, and he looks in fantastic shape. His body fat, he doesn't look like he carries much fat on him. He's broad, and he's thick, and he's strong. You can tell that he's put the work in, and there's so many other players that we're talking about that we've seen. Every one of these guys look like they've really, really done a lot of work in the summer.
Well, the Sabres have announced their training camp roster. We are in the main atrium of the KeyBank Center where the Sabres are doing their medicals and stuff. We're expected to be joined by a few of the big guys on the team. Rumor has it Jack Eichel will join us at some point today. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for letting me in on that one, boys.
It's a busy day, but I mean, if he's able to swing by, there's a possibility for that. But there is one player here that I think that if you go all the way back to last year's trade deadline, you might have thought he might not be here at the deadline, and then after, and then the draft, and then July 1st, and then throughout the summer. You know, is Rasmus Ristolainen is here and he's reported and he seems to be in good spirits. We had a chat with him. He spoke to the media this morning and basically said, you never know where you're going to be next week or next month, but I'm here now and ready to go. He also wouldn't say if he was had asked to be traded. Don't think he has to answer that one way or the other. Ristolainen, when asked how he can be better, we all know I need to work on my defensive zone game. It's not my strength, so I need to work on that. And then I'm not a guesser, so let's live day by day with Ristolainen's response to John Warrow when asking if he would be okay with being a Sabre in March. So a lot in there, Riv. But I'll say this. You know, when opening night comes, if Rasmus Ristolainen is on the defense corps, I think it's a pretty good defense corps. Right now, the way it is, intact. I understand you have right-handed defensemen. I understand you brought in a Joki Haru that, you know, you are very fond of. And the idea, if Ristolainen were to move out, he could slide in with that puck-moving ability type player. But he's here. He's on the roster. And the defense corps right now looks pretty good with him there.
Well, he's a huge asset to the Buffalo Sabres. Does he need to work on a few things to make his game overall better? Yes, he does. But so does the team, and so does the structure in which they play in the defensive zone. He talks about, yes, I need to work on my defensive game. Well, you know what? It's going to start with your defensive game will get better when someone brings a structured system into this onto this team, because we haven't seen it in a few years. It's going to help every player, not just Rasmus, but it's going to help all the players understand their responsibilities, and there's going to be no gray areas. They're going to understand how to play. And, you know, listen, I mean, Rasmus is been here for a long time. He's only understood losing. And it's frustrating for a player like Rasmus, who is a competitor. We have seen it. He will give whatever he can possibly give to his team. He's a great team guy. But right now, he wants to make sure that this team is going to continue to get better. So it's not only he's going to give 100% of what he has, but the team's going to give back to him. And I think that's important for Rasmus moving forward, is for him to understand that he's going to come here, because his attitude and the way that he handles himself is he will come here and he will do what he has to do moving forward. But if Joki Haru and players of this stature play exceptionally well, it opens up now a debate on what do you do next? Is there a defenseman that needs to be moved out? Is it going to be Montour? No, you just acquired Montour, and he's the prototypical defenseman that the Sabres are looking to move forward with. Fast, puck movers, and hockey IQ. You have they just picked up the right-handed defenseman from Vegas Golden Knights in Miller. He's the same thing. He's an offensive guy. He's going to put points on the board. He can move the puck. He's got the heaviest shot by far on the team. He's got an absolute bomb. Now it comes to Ristolainen. Are there a player in order to
got a lot of heavy shooters on this team?
You do. In order to move in a Joki Haru or someone of that nature, someone has to go out, and it'll be interesting to watch because there's a lot of very good defensemen.
Do you think it's okay? So let me ask you this, because you've actually been in this situation. I mean, you've been in a lot of situations. So is it, because I've never been in this situation, I don't even know if I really know how to put the question together. I mean, I guess, is it easier said than done, Riv, to go and just play hockey when you're, like, I'm saying?
I talked to Risto this morning. And you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that can say, listen, I feel that I can really help Risto, this, that. I really actually do. I feel if I could help Risto in trying to have him understand simplicity and playing within your limitations and just having things in front of you will help you. Sometimes less is more. Yes, the coach the last couple years, and Phil Housley talked about how he wanted the defenseman to join the rush, do this, do that, push the pace from the back end. But when you're a defenseman like Risto that plays so many minutes and you're playing against the toughest competition in the National Hockey League, he might be someone where you might have to say, listen, we don't need you to push the pace. We don't need you to be jumping up in the rush because you have to save that energy to be a defender. And I believe that with structure and this team understanding how to play defense is automatically going to help your defense. It's going to help your goaltender. Everybody has to be on the same page, though.
Do you see? It's hard to ask you this question because do you think I say this and I'm not kidding. I know I bust stones a lot here, but like, do you think your 05-06 season? Right, like, do you see a lot of yourself in Risto, or like what Risto really could be when it comes to a shutdown, not a shutdown deep, but like kind of like what you were, a hard-nosed, forget the fighting, forget yeah. the
game was a little different back when I played,
but there's still a spot for those type of defensemen. Are you kidding me? Imagine you didn't have to fight.
Yeah, that
could you
been
imagine what
fun.
Your game would have been like if you didn't have to fight, or you didn't have to worry about a guy like me or somebody else coming to try to knock your head off your shoulders? Yeah. I mean, isn't that kind of like where Risto has right now? No
Risto's
one's coming.
6 foot four. He's 220 pounds. He's in phenomenal shape. He can skate. He can shoot, and he can pass. Now there's the task of having him understand limitations and what he's going to do on the ice, and you want to start with a really tight base. Get him to play a certain style, play the same way, move the puck quick, try and not do too much, and then allow that positivity, because he's going to see results, allow the positivity to start to flourish a little bit and move forward, maybe jumping up in the rush a little bit more at certain times. But in the first and foremost, he has to be a defender first. Don't worry about putting 40, 50 points on the board every year. You worried about being a great defender and helping this team win hockey games in that aspect. Leave the rest up to Rasmus Dahlin and a Montour that can jump up in the play and a Colin Miller who's going to be a guy that's going to have a big shot, who's a great skater, can jump up. We need a guy that can understand his responsibilities for this team moving forward. And I think Risto is an unbelievable defenseman. He has all of the package. He just needs to simplify his game a little bit and understand what's going to give him success And then once he feels that and understands that, he'll be able to move his game slowly forward because he's already got all the tools.
Jack Eichel was asked about Ralph Kruger, and he said he brings great energy to the rink and a lot of positivity, and that makes guys excited. And Jack went on to say, I want to find the back of the net more and be an elite scorer. I worked at it this summer, and I have to want to shoot the puck more. Who was the quote from the guy that was skating with him? Somebody from the old Tampa Bay team was skating with him, and he tweeted out about Jack's shot and how he's ripping the puck this summer. I mean, this is a year where I have to imagine. I mean, Jack has steadily progressed through injury since he stepped into the league.
Yep.
This is going to be a year where, last year we kind of saw there was a bit of a lull there, maybe an injury. And then I just feel like this is a year where he explodes. I mean, I think last year, had he stayed healthy and consistent, he was on. We were talking early Hart Trophy candidate, and that's not just here in Buffalo. We waited for everybody else to start saying that before we started sounding too homerish. But he had like 27 points and some, like, what, like 17 games or something, 18 games?
You know what comes with a heart? Comes with a heart is making the playoffs. Having a team that hasn't made the playoffs in many years and having a player step forward and basically do things that wow you, that holy, something like along the lines of Taylor Hall a couple years ago when New Jersey wasn't the strongest team. But Taylor Hall went on, what, a 23-game point streak? He took that team on his shoulders and propelled them into the playoffs. That's why he won the Hart, is because he did things that people said, wow, he not single-handedly, because it always takes a team to have success, but he was a driving force behind that New Jersey team having success. And I think Jack is in a situation. I mean, he's moving into the prime of his career. He's, what, 23 years old right now. He looks in fantastic shape. He's going into his fifth year. He's more mature now than what he was 5 years ago. And we're going to now start to see, you know, some pretty amazing dynamic hockey from Jack Eichel, because he's got world-class
82 points, 77 games, 28 goals, missed 5 games. You know, I mean, in those five games, he might have been able to put up 7 or 8 points. He's at 90 points there.
Yeah. Let me ask you,
I mean, what?
I want to know who he played with last year.
Everybody.
Well, name them. Sam Reinhart.
Everybody.
Jason Pominville.
I'm
not asking who he played his best with.
Okay.
I'm asking.
He played with everybody.
Okay.
Sheary.
Well, you know what? I mean, when you're sitting
Skinner,
at 82 points.
Reinhart. Pominville. Gergensen, Larson,
Sheary,
Thompson for a period. Remember that period in Carolina?
Yeah.
About 4 minutes. Who else did he have? He had everybody. C.J. Smith, maybe. He might have had, I mean, who knows who he had in his line? Probably Nylander at some point, didn't he?
This is a guy that has played with every single player on the team almost, on the forward line, except for Larson. I mean, once Jack Eichel has more established line mates where he can build some chemistry with those guys, where when he goes on the ice, it's almost like you don't have to think. When you have chemistry with a line or a defense partner and you know what they're doing, you already know their tendencies and where they're going to go, it makes the game easier. Do you understand? Things happen quicker because you already know from experience where that player is going to be on the ice. And sometimes players make passes and plays that they don't even look. They just know the player's going to be there. And once you gain that respect with your line mates and understand each other, the game becomes easier. Jack Eichel has played with 10 players last year. 10 different players. He had 82 points. That's
not bad,
amazing.
Eh?
It's not that bad. It is absolutely amazing.
I was being sarcastic.
I know you are. But, you know, you start to establish Jack with a few players that he's going to play with. Yes, there's going to be movement in a line. It's always going to happen.
Well, the thing is now, The great thing for a player like Jack now is that if he's getting shifted around a line, he actually has two sets of wingers to work with. I mean, so let's just say hypothetically, it is Jeff, Jack, and Sam to start the year. And you have Casey Mittelstadt, just saying for now, or insert any second line center here, Rodriguez if you want. But then you have VC and Olofsson, or VC and Sheary. VC.
No. Johansson.
I forgot about Johansson.
Yes.
So,
Jimmy, VC, and Johansson.
So if Jack is rotating through line mates again this year, at least they have more options.
What did have last year?
Second
line. We did not have a second line. Said it all year long. We did not have a second line. And now Jason Botchel has gone out and he has brought in players that are players that can be second line players. Jimmy VC is one season away from breaking out and scoring 25. I'm going to say it right now. I believe that Jimmy VC will have a big year. He will have his best year of his NHL career this year here in Buffalo. Mark my words, he's big. He's 6'3". He's 200-plus pounds. He's a great skater, and he's a hard-nosed guy, and he knows where to score goals. He goes to the front of the net, and he's hard in front of that net. He scores more goals 5-on-5 than any player on our team. And
Sabres,
we're adding that into the lineup.
Starting training camp today on the ice tomorrow. We'll be back down here tomorrow from our usual game day spot, just so you know we're upstairs tomorrow. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by some players today. They're just finishing up with their medicals and stuff like that. Busy day. We do have a two-hour show. We'll be joined by some of the big guys, I think, and hopefully the captain, Jack Eichel. And we will ask them about the fitness test. Do they get nervous? Body fat, that seems to be our thing. Mike online, Mike here is begging me to ask guys what kind of underwear they wear.
I'm going to tell you this,
Mike.
I'm nervous now. I feel like someone's coming out with the calipers to pinch my sides.
We should go and do an
instigate.
Why?
Because.
It's motivation. I need it.
Okay, you need it. I don't. I'm happy with my.
Who has a bigger gut, you or me?
100% you.
Sorry, what do you mean me?
You are
longer. I have a longer.
You are all upper body, man.
What? What do you mean?
Yeah.
I have the longest legs. If my torso, let me finish. If my torso were proportion to my legs, I'd be 6'8".
You have pretty thin legs for
just
a big man.
Just a barrel.
I'm surprised you can
listen,
hold yourself
I don't
up
lift.
That upper body.
I stopped lifting, bro. Hey, bro. You lift, bro? No, I don't.
Let me see your butt. Did you lose your butt?
I've lost a lot of my butt, but it's
still
very powerful. It is firm.
Yeah, okay.
It's straight like a tiger.
All right.
Yeah.
That's usually what the hockey
it is
players
straight.
Over time, that's the first thing that they lose. Their shoulders drop into their stomach.
Speak for yourself there, milk dud.
What are you talking about?
What?
You felt my butt that one day. You were pretty impressed.
Wow.
Hard as a rock.
Oh, is this – are you coming on with us?
Are we ready to rock?
Wait. Are you being sent over, or are you coming just on your own?
I thought we had something.
Do we have a headset? Yeah, come on. Let's slide in. We're gonna run a little bit longer here. Go with Carter Hutton. Let's go.
And this is unannounced.
I thought
by
we
the
had
way.
Something here. This is.
Why am I looking at this picture? Jack in university.
Why are you looking at
that's
Jack?
That's when Jack was 17 years old. He looks no different now. He's he was a man child
at
17.
Yeah, genetic freak.
72 points later, I think, in college.
No I played deal. At Lowell again. I wasn't there. He's lucky. He would never scored on me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I remember playing BU when I was in college. They were like an NHL team, I think. They won the national championship the next year. The whole eight guys were in the NHL.
Okay, let's get right to it. We have a couple questions. The most important is body fat.
Yeah.
Are we under 10?
Yeah, I think so.
Really? Know. You're a goalie.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Why are you putting me on the spot right
well,
now?
Well, what are your numbers? How many spots do they pinch you?
Lots. I don't know. I have marks all over me. They mark you with a pen. They prod you and poke you. And I think they do like...
You almost feel violated, eh?
A bit, yeah. You're used to it by now, eh? You know, you just deal with it. You try to suck in as much as you can.
Like, do you stretch a lot? Like, do you stretch as much as Andy Moog?
Yeah,
naked between the beds when I was I was his roommate?
Not naked.
Oh, man.
I know. I stretch a lot, though.
I'm still scarred over that.
I stretch like, every night before bed. I'm like constantly stretching. My wife's always laughing at me because I'm on the floor doing something, or just like becomes part of your habit. You know, like every day you have to do it. Especially as you get older too. It's like becomes more and more like just part of your life, right?
You have to.
So it's it's definitely an important part of it. And
you're pretty bulky for a goalie.
Yeah, I found when I was in college, I was like lighter. I played at like one.
Like you have shoulder caps. Pretty strong, like a lot of goalies are all like they're just bone and fat.
These guys are big here. Like Linus is big. Hammond, the other guy. Wait, you see Hammond's pipes, man? They're humongous. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, huge pipes. It's nice to look at. But I found in college I played at like 185. I used to run way more. And I wasn't durable. I'd always be banged up. I'd always be hurt. Now I'm around 200 pounds, and I'm, like, way more durable. Like, so body fat maybe went up a bit, but I'm just, like, way more durable. And, like, for me, at the end of the day, like, I'm not worried about a body fat. I'm worried about being durable and playing good hockey, realistically, right?
Yeah. So how's the mood in there? The first day for the boys, a lot of these guys, especially the young guys, are nervous, you know, going through the training camp type stuff. And, you know, how are you feeling going into this season? How's the vibe in the room?
Good. I think the first day is always like a bit anxious, right? Guys are just like with testing and stuff, you know, the mood's kind of quiet. And I think as we get in tomorrow, it'll like crank up more, right? I think everyone's testing gets in everybody's head, right? You just want to get it done with and do it.
I feel nervous now. I don't even know why.
We opened the show talking about that, Carter. We were talking about, like, I used to get so nervous. I mean, like I could train all summer and practice the test and, you know, feel good doing it. But then when you actually get to the test, it's like the nerves, almost like the buildup, the emotion, the buildup to it, like takes away from. And there are other guys who just got on there and cranked it out.
I know.
And they drove me nuts.
The testing's good. Like they don't. I think a lot of the stuff's realistic here. They do a good job of that. The bike test is the tough one, right? You do 3 minutes on this watt bike. And any way you want to attack it, it's tough. It's just
so.
Like,
what is it? As far as you can,
like a wind
possibly
gate?
Go.
Yeah. So
like,
it's kind of. It's not a wind. So wind gate's like the quick 30 seconds. This one's 3 minutes, and it's kind of like a VO2 max. They're like figuring out your average watt based on your weight. So if your weight, like, so if I weighed in at 201 today, so I need to produce at least over like average over 400 watts
the entire three
the
minutes,
the entire time. So what any way you want to attack it, right? So the way that our strength coach wants, like, kind of told me to do was go 2 minutes trying to sustain a certain RPM, right? So I think I was at like 103, 105 RPM for 2 minutes, and then the last minute just try to go all. And by the time you get to that last minute, you're like, he's like crank it up.
I'm
like,
lactic acid kicks in.
There's
the
not
brain
a whole heck
starts
lot
to
there.
Shut down.
Yeah, it's more a mental test too. I think it's physical and mental, right? You got to push yourself through it, the durability. So that's a good test, right? Especially for young guys who haven't really experienced a pro life. It's just keeps guys honest and seeing where they're at.
Well, how many years have you been a pro?
This will be my 10th year.
So talk about how training, like camp testing has changed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Like now.
No bench press test anymore.
No, they do a bench here, but it's lightweight, more just like explosiveness things. Yeah. So I remember before like doing like max like squats and things. Like even in college, we would do these crazy tests and it has no translation to hockey, right? We're now everything's so dialed into what we need to be the best in the ring.
I remember my last year here in Buffalo, we had four guys scratched for the first week of training camp because they blew out their hamstrings, maxing out their 450-pound Pacer was
remember,
one of them.
Remember Nathan
One guy had
Gerby?
To go for back surgery.
Remember Nathan Gerby?
What? Do I remember him?
Yeah. Remember,
yeah, of course
remember
I,
him
yes.
squatting? It was.
Well, he had to go down like
I'm
as
not kidding.
Low as that coffee cup.
He was
cup.
This tall. He was 5'4". I can't even tell you how many plates he had on it. And he was popping up and down like I was like, is that really normal? But he only had to squat about this much.
Yeah. Range of motion.
Anyway, things have changed so much from you know, I always wondered why. Why are they doing that? Why are they testing how much a guy can squat? Guys were getting injured. We had a lot of injuries at camp because guys were maxing out.
Yeah.
And the run test was the same thing. Anyway.
The beep test. And now, like in the summer, I don't even train. I don't think I go under a barbell the whole time. Like there's literally all dumbbell stuff. You do deadlifts for some explosion, but like literally majority of my workouts are like just with dumbbells now because you're trying to just keep your discs. You don't want to put a ton of weight on your disc. It's hard enough as it is as you get older. Like now you just need to train.
Well, especially goalies too, wrenching around.
Of course. It's more body control.
So how do you as a goaltender prepare for a training camp? Like I know you come in probably early, come with the boys and do the captain skate, stuff like that. But as a goaltender, you need that technical part of your game to make sure that mentally is – what do you do kind of like moving into coming here? Like, are you on the ice like through the July months? Like,
so I stay off the ice now. I used to go skate a lot when I was younger. Same idea. Any skate I would just go do. But now I've found same idea is I'm going to get the reps. I'm going to see pucks as soon as camp starts. So in early in August, I start skating with, there's a goalie coach back home, and I just do like kind of a private session. There's two goalies out there. Another goalie from Thunder Bay plays for the Devils. So we skate, and it's just all foundation stuff, right? So I'm trying to slowly like get all that technique back before I like ramp it up. Because even when I come in these, I've been here since Labor Day weekend, and the skates are good, but it's like, there's so many guys, the shots are coming. It's not really realistic. Like, when in a game does a guy get a puck at the red line, skate down to the hash marks, and zing one on you, right? It rarely happens. It's more in-zone technical stuff. So I take the whole month just to, like, kind of build up my foundation. So then when things heat up, I kind of have that ready to rock.
Do you find your training, if you're just tuning in, Carter Hutton joining us here, do you find that your training over the years has changed because of, you know, you want longevity in your career too? I mean, like, obviously you got to think about, you know, the cliche athlete, got to think about today and stay in the moment. But reality, I mean, we all have an expiration date, and I think we all want to kind of push it as long as we can. And I think that starts in the middle of your career too, the adding years to
your reality is, what are you, 33?
33, yeah.
You're in your prime. As a hockey player, as a forward, you're talking about prime being around 25 to 29, and defensemen are you know, a little bit later, and goaltenders, you know, you're in your you know, early 30s. That's kind of like the prime of your career.
Yeah.
Would you not say?
Definitely. I think the way, like, physically I feel great because I've changed the way I train. You know, you're staying away from things that, like, just hinder you. A lot more, like, functionality in my workouts, right? Things that are going to adapt me to the ice better and sustain an 82-game season's long, right? And then I think mentally, just like your smarts, the experience you have, the way you play the game, the way you can manage a game differently, right? Where I used to want to just, like, get on the ice and go, 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 right? Where now you can, you know, kind of set yourself up better for success.
You're in an interesting spot because it's not – a lot of times goalies are just kind of – you know, stop the puck, show up to practice, that kind of, you know. But you're a leader on this team. Like, you're a guy that we've seen your interviews and, you know, nights, tough nights where you're not calling guys out, but you're not afraid to tell everybody how the team played, yourself included. You know, how is that for you? Is that a different position you've been in over the years? Because a lot of times you're looked now more as in the leadership group. Where, you know what I mean? Where goalies are kind of left alone to do their thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, that was a big thing when we talked about coming in here during, like, free agency, that, you know, that's what they wanted from me. And I had a relationship with a lot of people here coming in. And I think early on in my career, you were just, like, you were just happy to be in the NHL, right? You were just doing everything you could to survive. And now you realize you've earned the right to be a leader on the team, and because you hold yourself accountable, right? I think it starts with, you know, every day doing what I need to do to – so if I do say something to someone, it comes from a good place. It's for the best of the team. And it's a tricky transition right now because I find I've talked about this a few times. It's just like the generation of, like, you come from the old school way, right? Like, I grew up where if a coach, you know, got mad at me, I didn't go home and complain to my parents because my dad would get mad at me that I got in trouble, right? There's no, like, sympathy. You come back the next day, try to prove somebody wrong, right? Where now a lot of these guys aren't, like, it's harder to have that tough love sometimes with some of the younger generation. So I think, like, having someone in the room where we can find a better way to, like, be more self-accountable to each other and individually is going to, like, propel us over the top, right?
Some guys don't know how to do that, though.
It's
some
tough,
guys,
right?
Some guys are afraid to hurt feelings.
Like,
and
our accountability in the locker room, like, you talk about, you know, the younger generation of player that are coming into this league, that internal, I'm talking in the, not necessarily from the coaches or the assistants, stuff like that, but the players in the room, is there that accountability in the locker room right now?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it starts with Jack too. Jack's like a, he's a heck of a leader for a young guy, right? He's still a really, like, he's still pretty young and he had to mature fast, right? And I think it starts with him, and he does a great job. And I think last year, one of the things he focused on is, like, controlling emotions, right? He's a passionate guy. He wants to win. He wants to play well. But he did a great job of, you know, I think developing in that sense, where we tried to create an atmosphere. And I think coming to this season, it would be good that if somebody says something to you, it's from a good place, right? It's not like same idea as me. I don't think that I'm on this, like, pedestal. I can't be, you know, some days you need a kick in the butt, right? And that's why you hold your teammates accountable. And I think that Jack does a great job of doing that along with, you know, the other veteran leader guys.
I think there are guys in the league, we played with one who, you know, I think a lot of people misunderstood their body language and emotion on the ice for, you know, being angry or disappointed, when really it's caring. Like Thomas Vanek, you know, would get angry and slam a door, but it wasn't because he didn't score. It's because he feels like he let the team down. There's a different mindset and perspective from it from the team standpoint where guys say like, hey, relax, man. Like, you know, that chance will come again. You know, like, I find it common with a lot of athletes nowadays, how misunderstood they are.
Yeah, I think it has to be understood in the right sense, right? Where I find sometimes. Even last year, we did some exercise with one of this leadership group we worked with. It was like five positive things about a teammate and one thing they can improve on. And even mine, I feel like all my negative things were like not to be so upset after games. Where, like, in a sense, I'm like, okay, I understand that, but it's my whole life, right? Like, I put so much into this. I want to win. I want to be a winner. So, you know, maybe you find a better way to control that and bottle it, but it's coming from a place because I care. Yeah. Right, I'm not pouting, even if we win a game 4-3 and I didn't think I held my own, I can play better, I leave there trying to find something I can do better. Of course, at the end of the day, it's about winning hockey games, right? If we don't win, you know, it's not the answer. So I think in that sense, it's just sending it in the right direction. And I believe some guys' body language, you know, is misunderstood in a sense, but at the same time, majority of these superstar players, it's because they just want to be the best. So.
Sounds to me like... times have changed, eh? Like, I feel like now when you lose in junior, their coaches are going to put a movie on the bus now. You know what
I know.
Mean? It's not like the old days where it's like, we got to win or we're not going to get a movie on the bus for five and a half hours.
One word said. Yeah.
Quietest bus ride ever. Hey, Carter Hutton, good luck to you, man. Thanks for stopping by.
No problem.
Always a great guest on the show. Instigators live from the KeyBank Center. Training camp opens today. They hit the ice tomorrow. We'll be right back. Some more players rolling through. And Old Man River, more training camp stories coming up. WGR 550 and MSG.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Brian Duff blowing us off here. he just walks out, looks left. Good peripheral vision there, Duffer. I have a quick announcement to make today, 10 a.m. It's past 10, so they're on sale now. I just received this email. Single season game tickets are on sale. They can be purchased at sabres.com or by calling 888-GO-SABRES. And so some of the 50th season games that will be sold are October 5th, the home opener against New Jersey. You have November 2nd versus the Islanders, 16th versus Ottawa. That's Hockey Fights Cancer, partnership with Roswell Park. December 2nd, New Jersey. There's Nashville in December, Florida in January, Columbus, Boston, the March 21st Chicago game. Best of night, by the way. Celebrate the best moments, players calls from Sabres history, and April 4th versus Philadelphia, fan appreciation night. So all those games will be available for single game tickets, and you can get those again at sabres.com or by calling 888-GO-SABRES. We'll be right back on the Instigators. Great segment, Riv, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Okay, welcome back. Don't forget, go to Sabres.com for individual game tickets that went on sale today. I'm going to get you that information one more time. and by calling 888-GO-SABRES, Instigators live from the KeyBank Center. And training camp opening today. Riv and I have already expressed our, I don't know what the emotions would be on a day like today, but I think the weather pretty much speaks to it. Nice rainy day. No better day to come inside, I guess.
That's right. Absolutely.
Kind of sucked when training camp would open and it was just an absolutely gorgeous day outside. And you're stuck inside getting your blood taken and EKGs. And I hated the eye tests too, where they used to, tapped your eye. Do you remember all that? Like doing all that
tap
stuff?
Tap your eye?
They would like numb your eye with drops, and then they would like put this device in, and they would like kind of tap your eye to get like your actual eyeball to get like some kind of a, I don't know what it is, like the medical term. Oh, look who's back. Yeah, we'll ignore him this time. Let's just pretend like he's not even there. Oh, Chris Bandura rolling around the corner here. We'll take a break and come back. Is that okay? Because we're right up against the break for the second hour, so I'll save the eye test for later. And Old Man River will tell us about his. Instigators will be right back with Jake McCabe right here, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.